Amen. If you would, with me, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to read Exodus 14, verse 10 through 14. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. In other words, you'll shut your mouth. God, right now, we want you to speak to us. Hallelujah. You are a great God. Lord, I thank you for a group of people that love you. And I pray, God, right now, Lord, that you will encourage those that are disheartened, those, Lord God, that are fighting battles, Lord God, that you'll help them today. God, as they leave here, leave in victory. Hallelujah, Lord God, touch your servant, Lord. I need your anointing, God, to speak your word. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus. Give him a hand clap of praise, would you? Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. He is a victorious God. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, have you ever felt like your back was against a wall? You ever been between a rock and a hard place with nowhere to turn? Or maybe you have put in a lot of time going down a winding avenue of life that seems like it just comes to a dead end. You see, it is inevitable that there will come a time in this life that you will experience moments when it looks like all hope is gone. And there will be times when even the very best that you have to give God and the very best effort that you can put forth is not sufficient. Come on. So whenever times, problems come in your life and you do everything in your power to take care of it, it's never enough. Amen.
Somebody's texting.
Turn your phones off. The odds will be stacked against you. The storms will rage. The winds will blow. The lightning will flash. And the failure and the destruction seem to be lurking just around the bend. But folks, amen, as Christians, as the children of God, as the heirs to the kingdom, we can take courage in knowing that just like in all the times before, no matter how dark the midnight seems to be, God is always on time. Always. Hallelujah. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's always on time. He'll show up He'll step in. Amen. He'll dry the tears. He'll bring the joy that flows. Amen. Even when you're weeping, we can have faith that God will fight our battles. Amen. And God will speak into our lives those famous words, peace, be still. Hallelujah. We can have this courage and we can hold this faith because time and time again, He has shown us that He is a victorious God. Amen. And as we look at our text today, we find, folks, there were Israelites in the midst of the desperate situation, a situation that God Himself has directed them into. See, what are you talking about, Pastor? I said, they're in a situation that God directed them into. You see, He may show them. God sometimes wants to show us some things, folks. That He may show them in glorious fashion that He is a victorious God. You see, if you look at the history behind the text that we read tonight, you will see that the Israelites had been in bondage for hundreds of years. And they were enslaved by the Egyptians. They were under the rule of Pharaoh. And when you read about Egypt in the Bible, folks, it is a type of sin. Amen. So you could say they were enslaved by sin. Come on, you been there? You got the t-shirt? And now, after their many years of crying out to God about their suffering, they are witnessing God moving in their situation. You see, finally, God had looked down from heaven and said, enough is enough. It's a good thing that every now and then, folks, that God takes the time to look down upon us, amen, a wretch like you and me. And He says, enough is enough. You see, it's a good thing that God, in His mercy, sees fit to dry our tears, because He is a victorious God. God is getting ready, I believe, right now, tonight, to step in to your situation. Amen. He's getting ready to say, enough is enough. Amen. Hallelujah. He raises up among them a liberator in the form of Moses. And Moses, born as a Hebrew slave and raised as an Egyptian prince. Moses, a shepherd whom God chose and caused to be raised up as. He was raised up as a prophet. He was raised up as a priest. He was raised up as a lawgiver, a judge, a miracle worker. And most importantly, folks, God ordained emancipator. And you know the story. Moses, this ordinary man with divine purpose, he stood before Pharaoh and he delivered a message that thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Pharaoh had hardened his heart, amen, and refused to set the Israelites free. He had made up his mind that he was going to fight it out with God. But he found out after death and destruction and the plagues that his arm was too short to fight with God. You see, folks, so the Israelites, there they are. They're ready to march out. They're headed for freedom. And now God, knowing the heart of Pharaoh, sent them to camp in the place that was bordered by mountains on one side and a fortress on the other and a sea in the front. God says, all right, I got this guy right where I want him, Pharaoh. He's fought me every inch of the way. Amen. And now I'm going to take these people, my people, to a place. He took them to where, like I said, there's mountains one side, amen, and bordered by mountains on one side, a fortress on the other, and a sea in the front. And with the Egyptians coming up behind, it looked as though there was no chance for victory in the Israeli camp. And the people began to question Moses' sanity for trying to bring them out and saying that they would have preferred to have been left in chains. See, sometimes we don't understand the pastor's direction in our life. Come on. Pastor, why do you want me to go this way? Pastor, why do you want us to do this? Pastor, why should we live this? Why should we listen to you? Wouldn't it have been better for me to do my own ways like I used to do? What's wrong with the way I always did it? They told him. Why did you take us out of Egypt? Were there no graves there? Are you out of your mind? Why should I live this way? Why should we act this way? Now think for a moment. How many of us have taken to heart the attitude that the Israelites had on that day? Now we read the story and we think, man, these guys are crazy. But I want you to be honest with yourself. How many times have you had an attitude like this? Come on. Is pastor out of his mind? How many of us have questioned and decided that it is better to live as a slave than to die trying to be free? Come on. How many of us had made up our minds that it is better to be enslaved than by the things of this world than to be chained to our strongholds, bound by our failing and enraptured in our flesh, to stick with the crowd than to be called out, to be singled out, to be called a peculiar people? I don't like to be different. I want to look like everybody else. Why should I be called out? Why do I want to live as a Pentecostal? Come on. I'd rather live like Egypt. I'll take the chains. It's all right to be enslaved by sin. At least nobody's looking at me different. How many are missing our destiny because we have made it up in our own mind that it's okay to be on the other side of the fence? God has great things for you. God wants to bless your life. But so many times we're so stinking stubborn that we think I'd rather be bound by things and have strongholds in my life. And it's okay to live on this side of the tracks. God has so much more for His people. I mean, that's where the good stuff is. And that's where He is. And that's where she is. And that's where our friends are. I'm going to stay on this side of the tracks because I don't want to be a peculiar person. But folks, God has called us to be more. He has called us to be better. He has called us to a destiny. And He has called us to be free in Him. And look, what the Israelites did not understand that day, folks, and what the many of us fail to recognize every day is that whom the Lord sets free is free indeed.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's nothing like freedom. But let me tell you something. Freedom always comes with a price. Freedom is not free. And I think that some of us need to get a backbone about ourselves and stand up and say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be peculiar. Come on. We need a backbone as Christians today. I want to be free. See, there are no chains that can keep you bound when the Lord Himself holds the key. And here they are questioning and they are crying to Moses because the situation is looking kind of critical. It only looks critical. You see, folks, things don't look like they are going to work out quite the way that we plan them to sometimes. They've got some trials that come along. They've got some struggles. They've got a little situation happening. And it looks like that midnight about right now. You see, and they don't understand how it is that God is going to bring them out. And see, you apparently don't understand the kind of God that we serve. Amen? You don't understand just why God is, what He's capable of. And He already spoke promises. He's already spoken victory. And you've got to hold on. That's all you got to do is hold on to God's victories. You see, folks, the first thing that Moses tells them, and this is what I want to tell Church of Pentecost today, fear not. You cannot live for God in fear. Come on, I can't stress it enough, folks. I said, fear not. You cannot live for God in fear. That's the first thing Moses tells them. I don't care what situation has come your way. Fear not. You see, folks, what the Israelites don't recognize is that my God, our God, the God that they serve, He's a victorious God. My first point is this. He is a fear-removing kind of God. Come on. And someone once said, fear is false evidence appearing real. I'll say it again. Fear is this. False evidence appearing real. That spells out fear. In other words, fear is what we get when we take physical inventory of the things going on around us and begin to doubt God's ability to do all that He has said He will do. Fear is when we begin to have more faith in the adversary's ability to have victory in our lives than we do for God's ability to have the final word. Fear is when we fail to realize that the God who brought us this far has not brought us here to leave us. And I'm here to tell you that He is a faithful God. Amen. I'm here to tell you that He is a God who said that He will do what He begun to do in your life till the end. So many times we reach a situation in our lives that have our knees knocking. Our hearts are racing. Maybe your tears are flowing. But regardless of the situation, regardless of how bad things look, I'm telling you, folks, my God said He will fight your battles. Amen. My God says, be of good courage. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what the adversary tries to bring your way. It doesn't matter, folks. There can be mountains on the east. There can be a fortress on the west. Amen. There can be enemies at the back and a sea of despair in front of you. But when it is all said and done, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it said, and when ye see these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. 1 John 4 and 4 says, ye are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. The old hymn says, what have I to fear? What have I to dread when leaning on the everlasting arms? Amen. All you have to do, folks, is wait on Him. Amen. And all you got to do is keep your hands in His hands, because the same God that inspired David in Psalms 23 and 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Psalms 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present time in trouble. Because He is a victorious God. Hallelujah. Amen. Another point I want to make is this. He is a salvation bringing kind of God. The second thing that Moses told the people in response to their doubting God's ability to make a way is this. To stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When you are one of God's children, you can hide safely under His wings of protection, because, folks, as the scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Come on, do you believe His word tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Know that your place, your faith in Him, when you lay your burdens at His feet, when you heed His call that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to fight. You don't have to struggle. Because the Lord, folks, has declared that He will fight your battle. You see, the battle, it's not yours. It's not yours. It's His. Amen. Psalms 121 and verse 1. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. How do you believe that tonight? Let's shout to Him right now. Hallelujah. You don't have to move. All you've got to do is wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, with the wings of eagles, you can rise up above any situation that is threatening to take you down, folks. With the wings of eagles, you can soar above the situations, amen, that threaten to steal your joy and take you off of the path of God's preordained path in your life. All you've got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, because my God keeps. My God provides. My God saves, because He is a victorious God. Have you discovered yet that being saved doesn't insulate nor isolate you from the problems of sin-cursed world? For those tonight who insist on believing salvation is the end of the problem, I say, okay. But it's the front end. Huh? You see, struggles, difficulties continue. And oftentimes, folks, they increase when you get saved, because now you have an enemy coming after you. Understand this tonight. Pharaoh is a picture of Satan pursuing his losses. You see, the Christian life is not lived in straight lines. There's a revelation for you tonight, folks. I said the Christian life is not lived in straight lines. Because, see, God allows us detours along the way. And those detours are for our benefit. You see, a straight line from Egypt to Canaan would have been about 150 miles northeast. And it would have taken less than 2 weeks to travel. But God takes them southeast. The long way around. the glory cloud seems to be leading them the wrong direction. And the same thing happens to us, folks. We have a goal. We have a destination in our mind. Some place we want to go to. Something that we want to become. Something that we want to achieve. We've got this in our mind. But sometimes we even know that God is in it and wants us to get to this place. And I believe that. But we just can't understand why it's taking so long. Can anybody relate with me tonight? Folks, when God told me He was going to use me as a pastor and bring me to Cleveland, it took us 5 years before God moved. And we just begin to wonder, what is going on here, God? What's taking so long? Why are we going the long way around? Can you relate with me? Sometimes, folks, I want to make another point. He's just this kind of God. Okay? God promised the Israelites that the Egyptians they saw, they would see no more that day. And God spoke. Here's how God is. God spoke a benediction over that situation. Come on. Understand that a benediction is a concluding act. It is shutting of the door kind of act. And God steps in when things get critical and when they begin and begins this benedicting the situation in our lives. God is able to shut doors that no man can open. And God can open doors that no man can shut. Come on. Because He is a victorious God. And I don't know about you folks, but I am glad that God has spoken benediction in my life. You see, folks, when God takes care of a situation, He told the Israelites, you see them, I want you to look back at them, at those Egyptians. You see them? After today, no more. It's over. Kaput. It's done. He's a victorious God. I'm glad He has spoke benediction in some areas of my life. And I'm so glad that He saw fit to speak benediction on some of the people and the things in my life. And I'm not sure who I'm talking to here tonight. But God has sent me here to tell somebody that He is ready to speak a benediction in your life. Amen. And He is ready to speak benediction over the heartache in your life. He is ready to speak benediction over the things that you had walking the floor all night in your life. And God is going to start turning some stuff around in Church of Pentecost tonight. And there are strongholds that God is getting ready to break. Amen. And there are some tears that God is getting ready to dry up. God is getting ready to give the benediction because He is a victorious God. Amen. Hallelujah, folks. Is anybody here, amen, that is still unsure that He is a victorious God? Amen. All you've got to do is walk down that Faith Hall of Fame. Amen. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they would testify that my God is a victorious God tonight. They would tell you that when your back is against the wall, when you're facing a fiery furnace, God will step in, and He'll be the fourth man in your furnace. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. He's a victorious God, folks. Amen. But if you're still unsure, He is a victorious God. Ask Daniel, and he is set in the lion's den, because Daniel will testify, amen, that in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. Daniel, folks, had made it up in his mind that he would serve the Lord until he died. And Daniel had made it up in his mind that he was going to seek the kingdom of God, and he found himself in a difficult situation. He found himself in a lion's den. And Daniel, folks, can testify that even when it looks like the enemy has you down, even when it looks he's already ready to devour you, that God is a faithful God, and God is a just God, and God stepped in and touched the situation. Because when God speaks, everything that has breath must obey. Amen. And He is a victorious God. And if you still don't understand the kind of God that I'm talking about, amen, maybe you can ask Lazarus. Lazarus would testify that when folks had counted you out and declared the race is over for you, that God will step up and He will speak life into your dead situations. And when folks are standing around ready to throw the dirt in your face, Lazarus will tell you that God has the last word. It's not over until God says it's over. Come on, folks. Amen. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report says to you. God has the last word. His stripes, amen, you are healed. Hallelujah. See, hallelujah, when it looks like all hope is gone, God is able, because He is a victorious God. Mary Magdalene, she will testify that when things looked defeated, they nailed her Savior on a cross. They laid Him out in an old borrowed tomb, but He arose the third day, and Jesus proved once and for all that He is a victorious God. Jesus rose from the dead with all power in His hand and with the keys of life and death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Amen. Don't you understand tonight that your God is a victorious God? Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 It's my testimony. I can tell you He is a victorious God. I can testify He is my strength and my refuge. I can testify He is my redeeming kind of God. And I can testify that He is, amen, God able to heal. He's able to deliver. And He wants to bless you. That's the kind of God, because He's a victorious God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can testify that He is a burden-bearing God. He's a mountain-moving God. He's a peace-bringing God. He's a joy-giving God. He's a healing-sending God. He's a blessing-releasing God. He's a praiseworthy kind of God. And I'm so glad I serve a victorious God. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're here with any doubt tonight, amen, I want you to bring him up to this altar and say, God, I know you are a victorious God. God, help me to believe and trust in you, God, with everything in my life.